Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, America's business lifestyle coach, and you have arrived at the place where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. You know, I recently read a statistic that said that 48% of American executives say that they have a messy desk, but they claim to know where everything is. In contrast, 12% of American executives say that although their desk appears organized, they have no idea where to find anything. Executives, apparently, according to this study, which, by the way, was released by the National Association of Professional Organizers in 2004, executives waste 6 weeks a year searching for lost documents. Well, you lifestyle CEOs out there with small businesses and homes to manage, I know that well, hopefully it's not that bad for you, but I can imagine that there must be times in your lives when you're searching under every available rock in your house or for a piece of paper or a document that you're looking for. And that's why I thought it would be so great to have somebody on the show who can relate to our lifestyles as moms and business owners, who can help us sort through all of this accumulated stuff and figure out what to do with it. I'm so excited to welcome to the show today Elizabeth Hagen. Elizabeth is a professional organizer and the author of Organize with Confidence. She is a professional, confident, non-judgmental, and extremely fun person to work with. And she has helped a lot of people take the chaos out of their lives and replace it with confidence, control, and peace of mind. And you know, when you have that, guys, you can do better in business, you're more efficient, and that always translates into more profit. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Donna Maria. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to have you. Now, I love to start off my shows by giving my listeners a little bit of an idea of who it is that they're talking to. And you've got a lot of fascinating things going on over there, but I'm interested in you, if you could give me like just a little short story of how you transitioned from the traditional workplace into being an entrepreneur and how you balance all this with that very big family you have over there.
Okay, let's go back a ways. Because I was an at-home mom with the five kids, and I loved that. That was my joy in life to do that. But when the fifth child finally started preschool, I realized these kids actually would leave the nest someday, and I want to get back in the workforce. But I wanted to work for myself, and so I really did some self-study of what I really, really loved to do. And I loved to organize, and I knew what quality of life there was when you live in an organized environment. But could I do that as a living? And then I discovered NAPL, and you mentioned that earlier. That's the National Association of Professional Organizers. So I discovered there are actually people out there doing what I wanted to do. So I joined that association 7 years ago, and the rest is history. I started my own business, and now I, along with organizing people in their homes and offices, I do a lot of speaking nationally to help people also.
And so you had five children when you started the business, and how many do you have now, Elizabeth?
We only have one at home now.
Okay, but you've got a total of, how many children? Is it five?
It's five children, yes.
Okay, I don't know why I thought it was more than that. But that's certainly a really big family, and you've got a lot of things to juggle, even though your family, as you just mentioned, they're not all there anymore. But, you know, I'm in my 40s, and my mother says I'm still, you know, just as much trouble as I always was.
So no, they'll always be our children.
Once a mom, always a mom, huh?
Yes, and they'll always be our children. I don't care how old they get, so there's always
issues. That's right. What was it like to start a brand new business with five kids at home?
Well, it was busy, but I'm a really determined person. And the biggest thing, Donna Marie, was I knew what having an organized environment did for my family, because I wasn't always organized. Back when let me go back here. In 1985, we had four kids under the age of five. And that's when I realized I've got to learn how to run a good home and be a good home manager. And so I developed these skills and tools, and we had the fifth child and developed them even more. And I was always the mom that other moms call and say, well, when's the practice or when's the bake sale or what's our carpool day? And I loved having that information ready and handy. I love being the one people call, not having to call somebody else.
And so I guess that obviously made your home and your business, even though it was a new business, it ran much more efficiently than it otherwise would.
Much more so. And also, when you can find things easily, Donna Maria, don't you feel a lot better about yourself as opposed to when you can't find something?
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's talk about that, Elizabeth. You've worked with people for years who are struggling with this. What are the issues that are sort of seem to be like infiltrating our culture? What is it that's holding us back or causing challenges, increased challenges or stumbling blocks to us being organized? Well, I mean, is there something going on today that we didn't have to deal with 10 or 20 years ago? I just don't remember this being an issue many, many years ago.
I suppose one thing could be materialism. We have so much stuff. And, but another thing is I think that we women think we have to have it all, and I believe we can have it all over a period of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Not all at one time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're the soccer mom, we're the PTA president, we have our own business, you know, we teach Sunday school, I mean, all these things, and we have five kids. I mean, that's crazy. And so...
Right.
If you're feeling stressed out over that, I always tell people, do the dump the rocks activity, where you sit down with your family and list everything your family's involved in, not only you, but your family, and then rate them, Donna Maria, as 1 to 4, 1 being crucial and important to your life, 4 being less important, and be real brave and dump the 3s and 4s.
And so it sounds like you're saying part of the challenge is just being brave enough to say no to something, even before you start actually physically organizing anything, just get rid of some stuff that's weighing you down.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Because I always hear people say, I want to get organized, and then I say, well, how much extra time do you have? Well, I don't have any time. Well, then I say to them, let's get rid of some stuff, let's get you organized, then you can add some activities back into your life, but you can't do all that and everything you want to do now.
So, Elizabeth, what do you do when you sit down with someone for the first time, you don't know who they are from Adam, but they're interested in having a consultation with you? Where do you start with them? How do you begin to wrap your hands around someone else's life and begin to be able to put yourself in a position of helping them?
Sure. I always ask them what their main issues are. Is it scheduling? Is it the kitchen's a disaster? Is it closets? Is it bedrooms? Is it paper? And oftentimes they say all of the above.
Right.
And then
that's what I was saying.
Then I would say, well, let's mind map. And let's say we're talking about your home. Okay, Donna Maria? We would take a plain piece of paper. We draw about a 3 to 4 inch circle in the middle of the paper. And we write in the circle, my home. And then we draw branches out from that circle. And the branches are all the areas that irritate you in your home. So one branch might be kitchen. One branch might be home office. One branch might be toy room and so forth. Then we get that all down. Then we sub-branch. Okay, in the office, what are the areas that irritate you? Well, it's the file cabinet. It's the floor, top of desk. All sub-branches under office. Well, in the kitchen, it's the west cupboards, the east cupboards. It's the kitchen counter. We sub-branch. Then we talk about, okay, what's the most important thing to do first? What would make you feel the best about yourself? Well, maybe it's the kitchen because that's the hub of the home. Okay, we draw a big circle around the kitchen branch and bed number one. Okay, what's the second area, third, and so forth? Then we go back and decide, okay, we're going to start in the kitchen. What tools do we need? How much time? We set the appointments up. I always come in, Donna Maria, with all the supplies. And
okay.
So we start, we don't have to leave. It's all right there. So if someone on your listening is going to do it themselves, get the supplies they need, bins, tubs, you know, whatever, big trash bags,
and have it
all there on the date they're going to do it.
Right. And your book has some really great tips on those kinds of supplies that you can kind of get together and give yourself a little bit of an advanced time to kind of gear your brain up for starting to undertake this task.
All the supplies are listed there. And also I talk in the book, in the manual, which has all the forms, but I talk about really setting aside enough time and having the tools ready, getting the babysitter for the baby and so forth. So you can really attack that area,
Now, have you worked, Elizabeth, with women who have small businesses and they really feel like this clutter issue is just holding back their ability to grow and expand their businesses and reach more people and get more customers?
It definitely is. Not only, Donna Maria, the physical environment of the clutter when they walk into their office and they want to scream, mm-hmm. it's the what causes them emotionally inside. How can you open up your mind to new business when you are behind on what's already on your desk?
Right.
And so I always find, after working with them in their office and going through the paper and set up a really good file system and a tickler file system for the daily activities and getting their calendar ready, they walk in, they feel more creative, the phone calls start coming. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it sounds really easy, and it sounds like from what you're saying that once you break it down by using this sort of circular graphic that you suggested we draw and then draw the branches and then the sub-branches underneath there, that it's like if you focus on not climbing the big mountain and just the steps up the mountain, then you can accomplish more and really get where you want to be.
That's true, but I would hesitate before I say it's easy mm-hmm. because especially if someone really has emotional attachments to their clutter, mm. they have all the, you know, they're gung-ho, they're all ready to go, they've got the supplies, the time to sit down, and the first piece of paper, they go, gee, I don't know. I don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I see what you're saying. You know, I was watching one of those cleanup shows on TV. I can't remember which one it was, and there was a mom. She had several children, and in her basement, which was very large and potentially useful, there were just a bunch of boxes and clutter everywhere, and her children were in high school, and she had baby clothes that she refused to give away to charity or whatever. And they gave her the chance to keep one item per child per mm-hmm. category, like one sleeper, one, you know, heirloom or something, whatever, just different categories so that each child could end up having, like, just four or five things
yes.
from that stage in their lives. And she couldn't do it.
No.
And is that what you're talking about, that emotional attachment? She could not let anything go.
Exactly. And I think I have a great definition for clutter, Donna Maria, that might help people with this.
Please.
Clutter is anything you own, possess, or do which does not enhance your life on a regular basis. I'll say that again. Anything you own, possess, or do which isn't enhancing your life on a regular basis. So
really fascinating. That regular basis part, is that the kicker for a lot of people?
That's the kicker. So as they look through their living room and dining room and kitchen, you know, this old vase from 20 years ago they never really liked, but there, is it enhancing your life? Well, no. Well, gone.
But it will enhance my life when my husband sent me flowers, right?
That's
the kind of thing you're talking about, though, is that people are holding on to it just in case they need it.
Yeah, yes. Mm. So I think that really helps. And notice in the definition, Donna Maria, I put anything you own, possess, or do. So know mm-hmm. that activities can be clutter also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That committee involvement isn't enhancing your life, get out.
Right, right. I know there's one section of your book where you talk about, is that a key and you don't know what it belongs to and you haven't used it in
yeah.
years? Don't waste time trying to figure out where it fits.
Yeah.
Just throw it away.
It's gone.
yeah, that's a really good tip. Now, have you found in your business, Elizabeth, that some of the concepts that you're talking about that are generic to the home, have you found that they're pretty much transferable to a business environment?
All principles I teach apply to home or office.
Mm-hmm.
There's different verbiage, but the principles are the same.
Right, right. And so let's talk a little bit about one of the principles that is in your book, the SMART tools. Can you share us the SMART Start method? I'm sorry, the START method. Can you share what that is?
I would love to. And let's take, for example, the junk drawer, because everybody at least has one junk drawer.
Okay, so we're going to apply the START method to the junk drawer.
Yeah.
The junk drawer, right?
The junk drawer.
And we're going to do that as soon as we come back from break, because Kevin just told me we have to take one right now. So, Elizabeth, it's going to be a perfect time for us to start right into the junk drawer when we come back. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. Today, we have got Elizabeth Hagen, the author of Organize with Confidence, and she is sharing some great organization tips for us that we can use not only in our businesses but also in our homes. And before we took the last break, we were sharing, Elizabeth was beginning to share her SMART method for organizing a junk drawer. S-M-A-R-T, the SMART method. Tell us what that is, Elizabeth.
Well, first of all, it's the START method.
Oh, I messed it up. START.
Yes, okay.
S-T-A-R-T. The
no
START
problem.
Method.
Okay.
Which sounds much better, but it's probably also SMART, too. So.
Well, I think it's very smart. If I can tell you what the acronym means and then give you an example with a junk drawer, is that okay?
Perfect.
Okay. The S of START stands for sort. The T stands for throw. Or shred, or recycle, or give. We'll use the word throw.
Mm-hmm.
The A stands for appoint a home. That's A-P-P-O-I-N-T, appoint a home.
Mm-hmm.
The R stands for restrict to a container.
Mm-hmm.
And the T stands for take back control.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, let's go through those one at a time.
Okay, so we're going to organize the junk drawer. Before we use the START method, and by the way, the START method works anywhere, office or home, you've got to take everything out of the area you're going to organize. So you're going to open up the junk drawer, take everything out, put it all over your kitchen counter.
Okay.
This is where you may want to run in terror because you're not going to believe how much junk is in that junk drawer. But hang in there with me. So everything's out on top of the kitchen counter. Now you start the START method. The S is sort. Start sorting through. What do you want to keep? What can you throw? So you do the start and throw sections at the same time. Have some big garbage bags for the throw, maybe a box for the giveaway. You start going through. I haven't used this key in years. Gone. It's a broken pencil. Throw it away. Start sorting and throwing. As you're sorting, Donna Maria, you're going to find things that belong, you want to keep, but belong somewhere else in the house.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it gets tricky because let's say you find a flashlight. You tell yourself, oh, flashlights belong with all the tools in the garage. I'm in the organizing mode. I'll just quick go into the garage. I'll put it away. Here's what happens. You get in the garage. You put the flashlight away. You think, oh, as long as I'm in this organizing mode, I'll organize this section for a while.
Okay.
You start organizing the garage. You get that section done. You like it. You walk back in. You've totally forgotten that you've been organizing the junk drawer. Now it's time to get the kids from school. You don't need more time. You put it all back in the junk drawer. It's worse than before. This is where the Elizabeth Circle comes into play. What I want you to do as you stand in front of this junk drawer is draw an invisible circle around your feet. It's called the Elizabeth Circle. You may not step out of this circle until you're done organizing that area. This is key. So I want you to have as a box or a bag marked take to other areas. As you find things that you want to keep but don't belong in that drawer, throw it in that box or bag. When you're all done organizing the junk drawer, then you can step out of the circle, take that box or bag around, and bring things to where they belong. Okay?
Okay, now this really, really points up your point of planning in advance because lifestyle CEOs out there, we all have home-based businesses, most of us, and stepping out of that circle not only could result in having to deal with a child or another family member, but your voicemail light could be blinking, You could be getting a text message or email saying you got a message, you need to check that. There's just a million things. I mean, as if home wasn't enough, you've also got your business there.
Yes. This is where focus comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
I define focus as doing something and thinking about it at the same time.
Do moms do that, Elizabeth?
Well, we better start.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough sometimes because we're really doing three or four or five things at once.
Yes, we are. But, Donna Maria, if you really want to get organized, you've got to set the time aside, maybe a half hour, hour for this junk drawer, and keep that appointment. It's as important as your child's dental appointment, which may mean getting the sitter or doing it during nap time or whatever. But if we can focus on in to this job until it's completed, we're going to feel great.
Right. Even if it's just one junk drawer, you'll feel better, right?
Yes. And don't look at the email. Don't answer the phone. You'll stay focused on this task.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Right.
So,
that's really great advice. Elizabeth Hagen, author of Organize with Confidence, do join us, 800-773-0355, if you have any questions or comments. Okay, Elizabeth, we've got start method. We've done sort. Keep walking us through this.
Okay.
Great.
So we're sorting and throwing, and we are now complete with those first two steps. What's left now on the kitchen counter belongs in that drawer. You've now appointed a home for those items. So from now on and forevermore, when that stapler is out and around the house or office, you know, oh, it belongs back in this drawer.
Okay.
It's amazing, Donna Maria, when we have homes for items, there's a 95% chance other family members and staff will put things away because there's a home.
If right, you kind of have to train them along those lines, too, right?
And this is where consequences come in and perhaps allowances, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are homes, they can put them away. If there's no homes, how can you expect them to put it away? It's going to go on the kitchen counter, mudroom, steps, you know, anywhere because there isn't a home for it.
Right. You can't get upset when you see it all over the place if you haven't told everyone where it belongs.
Exactly. And that's where a really nice label maker comes in too, Donna Maria.
Good suggestion.
Yeah. Label the heck out of everything in the house, you know, so people have no excuses not to put things away.
Yeah, good
one. So the
one.
A is you've appointed a home for those items. Now, before you put those items back in their new home, their junk drawer, let's do the R, restrict to containers.
Mm-hmm.
As much as possible, use containers. The ones I like for drawers, whether office or home, are those interlocking bins you can purchase at Target, Shopko, Walmart, you know, any of those stores.
Right.
And then what I tell people to do is buy a bunch of them because they come in different sizes. Buy a bunch, and it's kind of like doing a puzzle. You open up the drawer, you put these interlocking bins in until it kind of fits, and then always keep the receipts so you can return the ones you don't use.
Mm-hmm.
And then one bin might be pens, pencils. One bin might be stapler, staples. One might be the tape and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's restricted container. But don't go always go out and buy things. Look around your house. Do you have any empty checkbook boxes? Do you have any empty baby food jars you could use for, you know, tacks, paper clips, things like that. So look around. Maybe some small baskets could work in this drawer. So look around your house first.
Great idea. Excellent.
So that's the R, restrict to a container. And after you've done that, you have done the T. You've taken back control of that drawer. And it's amazing. As you open that drawer and look at it, you feel great about yourself over a simple junk drawer.
Right. Right.
Think how you'll feel when you accomplish the entire office or your closet or your house.
Now, how about for people who are, can you translate your start method, your very smart start method, to maybe someone who's got a home office set up like that's maybe in, for example, their bedroom or their den or something? I know a lot of small business owners who have that kind of setup, they don't have a separate space.
Okay.
Do you have any general tips for people in that situation, Elizabeth?
Okay, so let's say their office is in their bedroom, and they're frustrated by the clutter in their office. Is that your question?
Yeah. What are some tips on keeping the spaces, both spaces, organized and separate, I guess?
Well, first, like I mentioned earlier, do a mind map of that area, of that office in your bedroom. Because
that's the circle with the sub categories underneath it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because chances are, unless you maybe get rid of the kids for 2 days and have a whole weekend to organize your office, you have to do it in spurts, okay?
Okay,
so
okay.
Mind map it, maybe just today you're just going to do one file drawer. Tomorrow you're just going to do the right part of the desk. You know, the next day another file drawer, okay, and do it like that. And always do the start method. Take everything out of whatever it is you're organizing, whether it's the file drawer, the bookcase, whatever it is. Take it out and then do the start method and get that area gorgeous and organized. You've taken back control. Then go on to the next one. Do it in segments.
Right. Okay. Okay. That's a really good suggestion. And then, I mean, wires. What do you do with wires in a home office? I talk to so many people. There's DSL. There's this. There's a cable for everything. Everything's not wireless yet.
No. Well, you know what I also find amazing, Donna Maria, is that when you go look in an office store at desks, they're all open and clear.
Yeah,
what about the wires? I mean, they're all going to show.
And so, what about real life where there's stuff all over?
Yeah, exactly. So I know that, I don't know where, but I know you can buy these kind of tie-type things, at least tie them together, so at least if they're showing, they're kind of in an organized manner, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I happen to have a type of desk where it's all hidden behind.
Right.
That'd be the best. But no, if not, at least tie them together and get them organized.
Right. Yeah. Well, so can you share an example, Elizabeth, of someone whose life was really, really being held back and, almost damaged by sort of clutter, and you sort of help them work through it, and they have a whole different outlook, more productivity and things like that. Can you think of an example of someone you've worked with that can inspire us here?
Just a weekend ago, not last weekend, but the weekend before, I was in Las Vegas. And I worked in an office with another speaker. And in fact, people can sign up for my newsletter. It's going to be in my January newsletter, the before and after pictures of this office, which I think will really help people because I kind of explain the principles and tools and processes.
Great.
But she is a fantastic motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And her business wasn't expanding because, I mean, walk in, and it was just, you'll see the pictures, this covered paper floor, I mean, you name it, she couldn't think. And she also wasn't then inserting into her contact database all her leads, follow-up, people who purchased her products or anything. It was just all big piles because she just couldn't move in that office.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did take the whole weekend and work in her office. We put in 22 hours in one weekend.
And wow, so like a full Saturday and a full Sunday, like 10 hours, 12 hours each day.
Well, we did it Friday afternoon and evening, and then Saturday and Sunday, because we always went out somewhere nice to eat as a reward.
Okay.
And we worked very hard. Mm-hmm. And I came in with all the tools and systems, you know, ready to go, and we worked hard, and we touched every piece of paper in that office. We brought like 8 bags of shred and trash, and I mean, you name it. Mm-hmm. And she feels like a new person.
Really?
Absolute new person. In fact, here's her thank you. She says, you have no idea how much of an impact you have made on my life. Thank you for being here, for helping me get my life in order. You know, it changed her life. And now when she walks in, she giggles. She was giggling.
Now, did she share with you what it was? I mean, did she have other responsibilities? Did she have to unload some rocks? What was going on that was holding her back?
Sure. She didn't have a system. When the paper came back from a speaking trip, leads, you know, order forms, whatnot, she had no systems. And so they went on piles on her desk and floor. That was it, Donna Maria. No systems.
Okay, so there was no restrict to a container being followed there.
There was not.
Okay.
No.
Well, that's a good way to think of it, right? Because from what I'm hearing you say, everything you have to do pretty much to get from point A to point B is either start, throw, appoint, restrict, or take back control.
Mm-hmm.
And it all fits into one of those.
And when there are systems, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But when there isn't a system, I mean, think of in your normal life, the stoplight system. Does that make driving a lot easier because the green's going to green, the red stop, you know? Okay, well, can you have that in your office and home? Sure. I was just thinking today as I came in, I've been at the bank, I've been to a school program, I've been to I'd done some shipping of packages. I came in with a UPS receipt.
Mm-hmm.
I came in, the medications I picked up went in the medication basket, the receipts went in the receipts, and the banking deposit went in a place I have where I go online later and check, make sure the deposit went through. It was, mm-hmm. it took me like 10 seconds because I had the system set up. And I was thinking, boy, for a person who had no systems, you know where they'd all go? On the kitchen counter.
Right, yeah, because that's easy and it's there.
Sure, along
well,
with the thousand other things.
Yeah, this is such great information. It's really exciting to hear you sort of call things down into some simple principles because, I mean, do you find that, and I know I'm sort of this way, and I certainly meet a lot of people who are, especially moms, you know, you start having kids, and one thing leads to another, and it piles up so much so that you just go, you know, it's easier to live in this piled-up situation than it is now to try and take control of it. Do you find people sort of surrendering in that sense sometimes?
I do, Donna
Maria. Just
because
it seems like such a monumental task to sort through everything?
That, and they say they have no time. Sure, a normal day, do you have 3 hours to organize? Absolutely not. That's where the planning comes in. So if you want to attack that kitchen counter, top of your desk, you've got to plan ahead. You know, get the child care. You know, get the trash bags, get the labeled bins, you know, whatever it is, so
right.
you can, you know, that's the reason.
Right, and then don't let anything else get in your way once you've set
yes.
that time aside, because well, it's not tempting to get the babysitter there and then say, you know, I think I need a pedicure now.
No, sorry, you got to organize.
Yeah, okay, well, we're going to take our last break. We're here with Elizabeth Hagen today. She is the author of Organize with Confidence, and she's sharing her START method, which I think is very smart, as you know, for getting organized in your home and your business. Do join us at 800-773-0355, and if you call in your question or comment, you will be entered to win a copy of Elizabeth's book, Organize with Confidence, which is fabulous. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back with Elizabeth Hagen.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're here with professional organizer Elizabeth Hagen, author of Organize with Confidence. And Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about, you mentioned in our last segment that you had gone out to Las Vegas to help someone get organized and what a great job she said that you did and how you helped her in her life, and not just professionally but also personally. How do you work with your clients? Do you set up arrangements? Do you fly out to people? Did you just happen to be there? What kind of arrangements do you make with people?
Well, in that particular case, they flew me out there, and I worked there that weekend.
Okay.
So I work nationally that way. I also do phone consulting over the phone and
mm-hmm.
help people. I have them send me digital pictures of the area that we're going to work on,
mm-hmm.
and then I work with them over the phone also.
Oh, okay. Now, that sounds like it could really be an efficient way to work with someone who can't afford to fly you in or maybe is
yes.
too embarrassed to actually have you physically be there. And you've also got your book, and you said that you speak. Now, where can we see you next year? Do you have any engagements coming up?
Yes. If you go to my website, www.elizabethhagen.com, and Hagen is spelled an E-N, and then go to the speaking link.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I list my upcoming speaking engagements.
Okay.
And also, Donna Maria, I think I have a great newsletter they can sign up on my website also, and when they sign up, they get a gift, my free 31 tips to simplify your life.
Oh, great.
And I always list my speaking engagements in there also.
Okay. And so we go to your homepage, and there's a quick link for a free newsletter then?
Yes.
Great. Okay, that's wonderful. Now, Elizabeth, do you see any differences between the way men and women tackle this organization issue?
Well, one thing is men are a lot quicker to hire me than women, because it's like if they see they have need a need and they can't do it themselves, they hire someone. A woman thinks, well, you know, I wish I'd be able to do this myself, and when I have time, and, you know how we mull through things for 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
So I think men are a little quicker to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one difference. As far as my systems and principles, a male, female, the female doesn't matter. The systems and principles work for both.
Mm-hmm. And have you found that your principles work really well even for young people, or is this a good principle to use to start training your children to be organized?
Well, definitely. I've worked with as young as maybe an 8 and 9 year old into mm-hmm. high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the START method works, you know, no matter what, and that's very easy to teach them. And if we don't start them now, you know, they're going to end up kind of like some of people are right now out there, not knowing how to do this.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so now, and is a good place to start with them, the toys?
Well, that's an excellent place, Donna Marie, because that's so easy to categorize. You know, the Barbie things in one, the G.I. Joes in one, and the Legos and so forth. And then as they take the basket down to play, when they get done playing, a great chore then to teach them is put the toys back in the basket and put it back before you start something else.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, we talked earlier about people who like to hold on to things that have an emotional attachment, and you have kids, so you probably understand this, but mine are very young, they're 3 and 5, and when we clean up the toy box area sometimes, there's toys that they haven't thought about for, you know, half their lives.
Yeah.
And suddenly they cannot throw it away or take it to, Goodwill or charity. And it's interesting that, you know, this is something that if I had just, you know, thrown it away while they weren't here, they never would have missed it. So is that fair for a mom to do, just throw it
yes.
away while they're not there?
Yes, very fair. And
okay, good.
Their favorite teddy bear.
I'm free from the guilt
yeah.
of taking it behind their back.
Something else I do with my clients' kids and my own kids when they were young is, oftentimes I would take toys and I'd bin them up and put them back in the storage room, and then take them back out in 6 months. It was like brand new toys.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really good strategy yeah. too. Now, when you talked a lot in your book and a little bit earlier today about establishing systems, and you know how can you help people out there who are thinking, yeah, you know that sounds really great, but you know where do I start with just sort of reprogramming my brain to think along those lines, because so many people are, you know, they're so overwhelmed. Maybe they're working full-time and they have a job and they have a couple of kids and one on the way and they're trying to manage the family vacation schedule and, you know, plan for everybody to get their shots on time so they can start mm-hmm. school. I mean, it just seems like daunting tasks just to get through the requirements of life.
Yeah.
And, How can you help somebody kind of reprogram their thinking around that?
Well, first of all, no matter what mess your home or life is in now, you can do this. If I learned to do it, you can too. If I did it with 5 kids, you can too. So don't give up hope. I want you to have hope. You can do this. I'm not saying you can do it overnight. It may take a year or two to really get everything together, but you can do this. That's my first thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, I found the biggest thing with moms, whether they have a home business or not, is the paper and the family calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I really talk about having a command center in my book. It's so crucial in the kitchen. And
mm-hmm.
about when you come in with a paper, there's a home for the paper right away. And I talk about the family notebook. Next to the Bible and my calendar, the family notebook was the third most important book in our house. I talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, in the manual, I'll give you all the forms for it, so that when you enter the soccer schedule into the calendar, you three-hole punch it and put it in the family notebook so you can refer to it later. The exercise schedule, the bus schedule, the lunch schedule, there's homes for all these papers. And so you know that when you need this information quickly, as you do with kids because they're leaving the door in 2 seconds, you can go right mm-hmm. to it and find it. And there it goes back to feeling good about yourself. And
mm-hmm.
Donna Maria, when we feel good about ourselves as a person, we are a better mom and wife and friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's key.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. You talked earlier in our first segment, Elizabeth, about how you didn't used to be an organized person. Can you tell us about that to kind of give those of us who are where you were all those years ago?
Sure.
How did you make that transition? And I mean, what have you noticed to be some of the differences, like real tangible differences that you can share with us?
Okay. Well, if I can go back to 1985 with the four kids under five, you know, paper everywhere, clutter, toys, no menu planning, never a grocery list. And I found that I didn't like myself when I was under stress like this. As I mentioned, when you don't like yourself, you don't treat people in your life like you want to treat them.
Right.
And I had survived an abusive, violent childhood, and I had sworn that this was not going to happen in my home. It's going to be a place of peace. I took that very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to learn. I love to read. I thought, there's got to be a book out there, because I had no role models to ask. So I found a really great book. So it's a book.
Okay.
There's a lot. There's thousands of books now. Back 20 years ago, there's only a few.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the book was More Hours in My Day, is the title of it. More Hours in My Day.
Mm-hmm.
And the author is Barnes. The last name is Barnes.
Okay.
And he talked in real simple terms, Donna Maria, about systems and menu planning and doing laundry on certain days and all this. And so I took that to heart. And I did exactly what the book told me to do. And I found as my environment started functioning better, became less chaotic, and I was more in control, I felt better, and when I felt better, I treated other people better.
Mm-hmm.
So you asked for tangible. A very tangible one is having a grocery list. And
okay.
In fact, if people go to my website and click on free resources,
mm-hmm.
you can have it for free. You can download it for free. I love it. I've separated the store by categories, and so when you write something down and put it under dairy or canned goods, whatever, it has a place to write it down. Then when you go to the store, Donna Maria, you don't go back to the store 10 times. You get everything in the aisle that you're in, and you get out of the store a lot faster. So that's a very tangible thing I did. I started doing my menu planning and my grocery planning, and that helped a lot.
And you know what? That's probably something, right, that's real easy for someone who's intimidated by all this organization stuff to get started with, because after all, you do have to cook.
Yeah,
you do have to eat.
Need food, don't they?
Right. And so, well, especially if you have kids or family or whatever, other people living with you, you're usually the person that's responsible for making sure the food's there, then that's kind of an easy place to start, because after all, you know, there's other things that, cluttered as they are, you could look over, but you can't look over feeding people.
No. So, if you're overwhelmed, start there, print the grocery list, start using that system, and get that under control, then maybe you can move the kitchen paper next, you know, or the Tupperware cupboard or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is really great stuff. And so, and you know, you have this acronym that you use, too, for CEO. Tell us a little bit about that.
Your
family CEO.
Yes, the confident, with family CEO, you can be confident, efficient, and organized. That's the term.
That's a good thing to remember, since we are lifestyle CEOs, we might as well be confident, efficient, and organized as well while we're at it.
Yes.
So, Elizabeth, let's just say I'm in, you know, Rhode Island or wherever, and I want to get in touch with you. Is there a form at your website that I need to fill out, or how do I start after getting your book, which you can get at ElizabethHagen.com, how do I start this whole ball rolling? Do I call you? Do I email you?
Okay. A couple different ways. On my website, there is a Contact Elizabeth link, and you can click on that. It's a little form you can fill out.
Okay.
And it also lists my phone number, and that is 605-357-8767.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can email me at elizabeth@elizabethhagen.com and ask how to get started.
Good. So lots of ways to contact you. And you really don't mind if people just pick up the phone and call you if you're available? Will you set up a time to consult with them?
I love talking to people.
Oh, great.
Then they have hope.
Yeah, well, tell me this. I'm interested to hear your take on this, and this is something that all people, whether they have a business or not, end up probably focusing on these days at some point, or at least addressing, but especially people who do have a business to run. What do you think about transitioning from written planners to something that's more technologically savvy, like a BlackBerry or a Trio? I'm not trying to promote anybody's brand here, but just something, I mean, you know, those things are fairly new, and it used to be you had your day timer or whatever, and you wrote everything down. What do you recommend for people? Are there certain types of people that you recommend one or the other? And what do you use? I'm curious to know.
Sure. I've got a Trio phone now with my contact database in there and email and all that, and I sync to my Outlook on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is for maybe 15 years, I used a paper-based day planner, and it was awesome. And my life and brain was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a techno nut. I love technology. And mm-hmm. so I got the first Palms and all that and tried that and kind of went back to paper. And now I'm totally a Palm-based in my phone. But my answer to your question is, just because it's the newest, greatest thing doesn't mean it's the best thing for you. If you're a paper-based person and you're happy, don't switch. If
mm-hmm.
you love technology and love being on the computer, then go ahead and try it. But
mm-hmm.
know that there is a learning curve. Just like you can't buy a piano and expect to play it the next day, you can't
right.
buy a Palm and expect to be totally organized with it the next day. It takes time.
Right, because you do have to dump all your data in it, too. I mean, you have
yes.
to create your databases and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So just because you know, it's the newest thing, think what's mm-hmm. best for you. And I tell you what, people can get to a date a lot faster in paper-based than I can on my Palm, but mm-hmm. once I enter into my Palm, it's synced to my Outlook calendar, and so there's pros and cons for both.
Right, right. So do you use a combination of both now to sort of organize everything?
No, I'm strictly Palm and computer-based. I have no
problem. Oh, okay. Okay, so the family notebook is like a historical thing now.
So the family notebook still stays, Donna Maria, because that's for papers you want to refer to and have handy. So that's
oh,
by
okay,
my phone.
Like the yeah. soccer practice handouts
yes.
or whatever. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
That's by my phone. That way the family can look at it also. But for me
mm-hmm.
personally, everything's totally in my Palm calendar and so forth.
Right, and everybody
yeah.
can go organized. Now, can feel organized with you. That's great. Closets.
Mm.
People have a lot of clothes, especially women. I would imagine you've probably seen this a lot,
yeah.
you know, from like 1980.
Yes.
Which are either, you know, emotionally or one day we'll be able to wear it again. How about that?
Yeah.
What do you say to people who are dealing with that? Is that kind of the emotional attachment thing you were talking about earlier?
It is. We wear 20% of the clothes in our closet, 80%.
20%?
20%.
Yeah, we should be embarrassed.
We should be embarrassed.
Yeah, 20% means that,
yep.
you know, there's a lot of clothing that people who can't afford any clothes could be wearing.
Exactly. And in my workshops, I always ask the ladies, well, men too, but mainly ladies, why is that? Why are there clothes in your closet you aren't wearing? And the universal answer is they don't fit. And I say, okay, I understand that, but they don't fit. Why are they in your closet? And, of course, the answer is because they might fit someday. And my answer to that is, isn't it silly to have something in your closet that you can't wear, taking up space? And I guarantee you, every time you flip through those five pants that don't fit, to get to the one pant that does fit that you wear every day, you feel bad about yourself because you can't fit into the ones that you don't fit into. Isn't that true? And they say, yes, it's true. So I say, okay, if you aren't ready to get, you know, give it away, and I'm a big proponent of giving away and donating clothes. I'm huge
mm-hmm.
on that. But if you
mm-hmm.
can't, get some bins, mark them in 10 pounds, in 20 pounds, you know, whatever it is, get them in the bins, put them away somewhere, so at least when you walk into your closet, you can get dressed and not stressed.
Mm-hmm. So you specialize ultimately in helping people not just deal with the physical clutter, but really the clutter in their in their heads.
Oh, it goes together, and actually the emotional clutter is more important than the physical. If I can help them with the emotional, help them know that they can get rid of things and they'll be okay, they'll live to see the next day.
Right,
that can
great.
Help them with the physical.
Well, this is wonderful. I love to end on that note. We can all get rid of clutter around us physically and in our heads. Elizabeth Hagen, thank you for being here. You can visit Elizabeth's website as ElizabethHagen.com. Get her book, Organize with Confidence, and give her a call. Let her know that you're in need of some organizational help, and she'll be happy to serve you. This is Donna Maria, the Lifestyle CEO Show. We've got some more great shows coming up over the next couple of weeks. See you then. In the meantime, get out there and break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Have a great week.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.